This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Baldy was on with the morning show, and this is what he said about Joey Bosa.
Well, I mean, I was around both Joey and Nick quite a bit this summer. You know, they work at this one, work out at this park in Fort Lauderdale every morning when they're home, and they train unbelievably hard. I mean, like, they leave it on the field every day in that heat down there. I think Joe's got a lot. I mean, he's been frustrated by the injuries, the number of injuries that he's had. It's taken its toll. But, you know, one thing about Joey is he's all in. Like, he's a great teammate. They're best friends, Joey and Nick. They literally spend all their time together and their dad, you know, down there in South Florida. Joey's got the boat. Nick's on the boat. I mean, you know, they're best friends. I considering what they have on the roster right now, he's better than anything else opposite Nick Bosa right now.
Look, if he can come produce at a healthy, cost-effective number, then I'm not going to kick and scream about this. But here's what I'm also not going to do. I am not going to get sucked into the fact that they're brothers. I don't care. I don't care that they're brothers. I really don't. Taylor and Tyler Rogers were out in the bullpen, and we got 18 stories about, oh, this one's left-handed, and this one's like...
Okay. Twins even,
but
yeah.
Do you get outs? I'm sorry. To me, that is actually the tone of this offseason with the Niners. Okay? You went 6-11. I don't care if you're brothers. I don't care if you're best friends. I don't care if you look alike. I don't care if you're the same height. I don't care if you went to college together. I don't care. Do you produce at a cost-effective level? Your name can be whatever the hell you want it to be then. I don't care where you're from. I don't care about anything else. That was not okay last year. It was not okay. And so the reasons that led to that, some of them their fault, some of them not. But the Niners got sucked in, and I get why, because they lost the Super Bowl in overtime, and it's super painful and hard to move on from. But beyond that, like, I'm just, we're not doing nostalgia this offseason if I'm running the Niners.
And we're not doing kitsch and cute and like, oh, we have the same name. Turns out we're brothers. Isn't this fun? Bosa and Bosa, the two edges together at last. And if you look at Pro Football Focus and you look at what Joey Bosa did, first of all, he only played 503 snaps as opposed to 693 for his brother, but his Pro Football Focus ranking was really bad, 61.1. Nick actually had the best ranking, or the best rating, rather, of any Niner defender, better than Fred Warner even. Yeah. So everybody who wants to say that Nick Bosa had a bad year, and I'm not saying that Pro Football Focus is the end-all, be-all, but you're right about, you know, fans and what they think. Fans want to see sack numbers, and if you don't get sacks, then you didn't really do your job if you're an edge rusher, and that's not really the case with Nick Bosa. He had a good year, maybe not as good of a year as he's had in the past, but Nick Bosa was good. Joey Bosa was not. And so that's why the Chargers are moving off him. If Joey was really, really good last year for a team that is trending in the right direction, they were a playoff team last year, they wouldn't get rid of him.
Well, right. Again, he missed some games. I know Nick did too, but I'm not in the camp that Joey can't play. But that, to me, it's all got to be. I think this is the Niners' mood right now. It is bang for the buck. And so that's all that's going to matter. And I know we won't know that until the season starts, but that has got to be the way. I am not getting sucked into, ooh, this is a cool story. I literally, the only thing that I want to be interested in is, do you produce up to your number? Because as you pointed out, the one thing the Niners, I already know, are going to lead the league in this year is dollars that go out the window for no production. Because they're going to be paying a bunch of people who aren't even there.
Yep.
So that is what I think John Lynch is talking about in terms of what's got to stop. They got to stop paying dollars for no production. So your last name can be whatever you want. If you're not going to match your dollar, get out of here.
Yeah, and that, unfortunately, is not as easy as just that because, you know, you're going to have injuries and whatnot. And Christian McCaffrey last year, you paid him a good amount of money. He was number one in running backs as far as salary goes, and he only played, what, 2.5 games? And the dead cap number that I rolled out already, you're about $50 million in dead cap this year on guys who won't be on your team, for sure. We know that. So you're right, Mark. You can't just pay $20 million a year for Joey Bosa to come in and play 8 or 9 games. And that's why I think that this is a non-starter unless he really wants to play with his brother, and he really wants to take $5 million a year, which I doubt that he does.
I don't think it's that low. I think, like, you know, the whole – look, the Niners offered Dre Greenlaw reportedly a $10 million one-year prove-it deal. So that's what $10 million is. $10 million is a prove-it deal. I don't think Joey Bosa is in a prove-it situation. He's better than that. So – look, the 2025 thing, yeah, probably not. But I don't think it necessarily has to go all the way down to 10, especially if you're talking about a one-year deal. This is the way I look at it. Joey Bosa is still young enough and good enough that he's going to get some pretty big offers. And if that's what he's looking for, then the Niners are not for him, and he's not for the Niners. If he really wants to be a Niner and he'll do this for shorter and for less, then fine. I'm not, like, I don't know exactly what the right number is. 10 feels like if that's, the Niners are reportedly very interested in this. If 10's the number, I'd argue they're not interested in this because they're not going to get him for that, I don't think.
Well, unless he really wants to play with his brother.
That's really, really, really wanting to play with his brother.
Well, he's already made an absolute blank ton of money. So
that's true.
And he's 30. So maybe it's a one-year deal where you try it and you see if you can make something happen with your brother before you go out there and try it again. And they paid Leonard Floyd a 2-year, $20 million deal to be the opposite edge, and they still have him on the books. And so, you know, it's not like...
They might be letting him go, though.
They might. Yeah. And, you know, that will be a little bit more on the dead cap that you have to throw onto the pile of money that you're spending to not have an actual player. I would think that they would keep Floyd and draft somebody and try to stockpile depth as opposed to paying Joey Bosa, like you're saying, $10 million. Even if it's $10 million, I don't think that Joey's going to settle for that. So do you want to pay Joey $15 million for 1 year?
Maybe.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the way that that's all structured, you know, again, if they really feel like that's someone who will produce over there, maybe they would do that. But let's go to Jonathan in the city. On this, we'll take some calls here. Hey, Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, you know, just delivering mail. Just want to say, man, no on Joey. I mean, come on, this is another guy that they have to overpay. I would like him if he would just, you know, maybe Nick would pay him under the table and not count on the cap and all that stuff. And I don't know if I'm very confident about the offseason and all this because you know why, guys? Whoever made a person or group, whoever made those decisions, it is a lot. It's a chain of decisions, and it's all bad. That guy's still in the building, man. Whoever overpaid for a bunch of overrated dudes, that guy is still in the building, man. So as a 49er fan, I'm really not very optimistic about this coming year. But you know what I'm optimistic about is seeing you guys on the radio, bro.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
That was pretty fun to see you, Jonathan. Yeah,
yeah, that was. I thought he said Radio Row. I'm like, Super Bowl's still 11 months away. I'm not
right.
I'm not thinking about Radio Row yet, but maybe. I mean, the Super Bowl is here, so Maybe.
Maybe we'll get to go to Radio Row this upcoming year.
Maybe we will. But yeah, like I'll just say this. Jonathan's not wrong by any stretch in saying that the Niners ended up with some overpriced lack of production signings. I just think that we as fans, we tend to only remember those. So when he talks about whoever made those decisions, he's still in the building. The Niners have made a lot of good decisions. The Niners have made a lot of good draft picks and a lot of good decisions because they've won a lot of football games and they've gone to multiple Super Bowls, this regime. So I always want to stop short of painting them as inept because they're just not. But yes, they are in a situation where I think they want to be a little less generous, clean it up, be a little bit more cutthroat, and I don't know that Joey Bosa fits that narrative.
I don't think he does. And, you know, you mentioned Leonard Floyd, and if they part with him post-June 1st, it turns out to be, you know, it's a dead cap hit, but they also get a lot of savings this year, so yeah. It's almost a net neutral, so they might do that. But if you look at this team and forget the money part of it, you need probably two or three interior defensive linemen. You need an edge rusher, and I think you need another tackle. You probably need at least one guard, maybe more. Apologies to Ben Bartsch, who got signed. Aaron Banks will be gone. You probably need a center. You're going to need a corner. Wide receiver, I don't even know how many wide receivers you need, but probably a couple, and you're going to need a running back.
Yep.
If you don't keep Jordan Mason, so...
Remember, there's the draft. A lot of those players are going to come through the draft.
But it's hard to look at a lot of those positions and think, all right, rookie, boom, you're in. We're going to be good because we got you, you're a rookie, and we're going to count on you?
No, but they're going to have to hit on some of them.
They are, absolutely.
You know, I mean, what do they got, 11 picks? They're not going to hit on all of them, but you better hit on some of them. You know what I mean?
Well, and last year was amazing, where you had
pretty good.
Renardo Green was a hit, and Dominic Pooney was
Mustafa,
a hit.
Mustafa, big time.
Malik Mustafa was a hit. Ricky Pearsall,
I think, is going to be a hit. Yeah,
yeah, it's probably a base on balls the first year, but he's trending toward being a hit. So you did amazing last year in the draft, but previous to that, and I could pull out my father-in-law's list that he hand wrote on a yellow legal pad. You haven't been great in the top three rounds in the past.
Not in the top three rounds.
Been really bad in the top three rounds.
Okay, I know where you're coming from there, but like again, I maybe this is going back too far, but it's funny that, you know, Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, these guys all came in the first three rounds.
Yep.
Right? And you know, if you like Pearsall, I know that's still early. He came in, and so did Pooney. Like
Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster.
Of course, but that's my point. Is
Dante Pettis, Tarvarius Moore.
Everybody remembers the misses more than the hits. All I've ever asked for is to be fair. Is just be fair.
Right, and I'm trying to counterpoint your point here. We're trying to keep it even, keep it balanced.
No, but it sounds to me, again, but if your point is, boy, they miss a lot in the first three rounds, well, that's not fair. They hit a lot in the first three rounds, too. Of course they miss a lot. Everybody does.
Right.
Everybody does.
They're about 50-50 in the first three rounds.
I think they're pretty commensurate with the rest of the league.
We'd have to look at a full study of the first three. And to your point, 2020, Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk were their first-round picks.
I mean, I know that in this moment we're mad at Brandon, but that's a hit. That's a hit.
It's absolutely a hit. To me, it's a hit. If you draft a player and you give him a second contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
That counts as a hit. And, you know, Aaron Banks is a guy who I thought was a hit in 2021, second-round pick.
He can get a big old contract. It's just probably not from the Niners.
Right.
I don't think he was a miss. He's a little bit of a tweener. That's a tough one.
Yep.
Aaron Banks.
And, you know, Drake Jackson, Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Cameron Latu, third-round pick.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, no, there's always plenty. There's always plenty. I do think you could do that with every team.
I do think that, I mean, that's why maybe they should trade back out of the first round because they seem to be better on day two and day three.
Well, I don't know if
for whatever reason.
I don't know if you act based on that sort of history. I do know a lot of people who think that trading back this year makes sense because it's a deeper draft more so than it's a dynamic draft.
Yeah, fair.
In other words, there's a lot of people, and I'm no draft Nick, as you know, but there are a lot of people who think that once you get out of the like top 5 to 7 picks, that there's not a lot of difference between who will go 9th and who will go 29th. Like you're looking at, there's a lot of good. So if you're the 11th pick in the draft. A lot of people think, well, if you can move out of 11 in order to get two picks in the top 40 or something to move down, then it makes sense. We'll see. The Flash in Cupertino is next up. Hi, Flash. What you doing?
Not too bad. So quickly about Joey Bosa, why can't they do an incentive-heavy contract? It's easier for defense because, you know, I mean, you don't have to be targeted. Sometimes you can control the targets, and then they don't make their numbers. But then on defense, you know, you put a carrot in front of a guy, he'll go after it.
It's not a bad idea, Flash. I mean, when you say why can't they, like, it's honestly a question for Joey Bosa. Can they? Because if they can, then it's a very, very good idea. Sure, make it an incentive-laden deal.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He doesn't get paid, you know what I mean? But then, you know, he gets injured, he doesn't get paid. But then if you get a heavy incentive, and a heavy incentive deal, man, I mean, that'll fire him up, you know? And then there's no accounting for how happy Nick would be, and then he'll get fired up even more playing alongside his brother, I think.
Well, Flash, so, I will say this, though, and thank you, Flash. Appreciate the call. I think it's completely fair for fans when you're talking about players like this, and both of them have signed north of $100 million deals, I don't want to hear that you need money to fire you up. You should be fired up because your helmet went on your head. Period. Like, that's why I think in the NBA, people get very, very angry when they're like, ooh, you want us to try in the All-Star game? How about $5 million bonuses for winning the All-Star game? How about bleep you? You make $55 million a year. I don't need to give you more money so that you can get excited for a day. If you can't get excited for a day, then don't do this. And then we won't do this together anymore. Like, if that's, and again, money is a motivator. I'm not saying that these guys should go play for free at all. Joey Bosa is going to command a certain salary and deserves that. He's a very, very good player. But I just think it bothers fans. I don't want to hear that Joey, you get an incentive and then it'll fire Nick up. Like, you all should be fired up because you have a uniform and that's the job.
Right, and if you're Joey Bosa, you probably should be motivated by the ability to go out there and win. And, yeah, the Chargers were a team that was trending toward winning, but they didn't want to pay him as much as he was making. And if you look at his numbers in the year that he had, he's a declining player and he's almost 30. So if you just look at his productivity,
declining player.
Oh yeah, he's declining.
Based on
his productivity, his availability, and all the other abilities.
I mean, the availability has been kind of a problem the whole time.
Just the last 3 years. Before that, before that, he was, you know, pretty available and pretty productive.
I think if your last name's Bosa, you've been hurt a lot.
Right. It's because
college and pro.
Right. Nick has been hurt, you know, a few times, especially in the pros. He had the ACL. It cost him a full year. But I don't know if I'm the Niners and I look at a 30-year-old Joey Bosa who's only played in half the games the last 3 years, I don't want to pay him as much money as he probably wants to earn.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Like the 49ers, to the best of their ability, they go into this offseason saying, we are looking for people who are going to basically earn their salary. Like their production is going to have to match. And maybe that doesn't sound that profound because I'm sure they're trying to do that every year. But I do think sometimes you're in a mode, and they definitely were last offseason, the last two offseasons, because they felt like they're so damn close to winning it all, that tiebreakers kind of went to the player, where they're like, this one makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but gosh, we're right on the doorstep, so let's extend a little bit because we think we really can win it all this year. I think that's what happened with Bosa, and it definitely happened with Ayuk. They're not in that mode this year.
Well, and it happened with Trent, and it happened with McCaffrey.
Sure,
and it happened
lesser
with,
degree, but yes.
Right, but those players in the offseason went to management and said, I'm going to need more money, and they gave him more money just readily. And it didn't even seem like the McCaffrey thing was a story until the news broke that he got more money. And same thing with Trent. And you're looking now at Juszczyk, who had his contract reworked last year, and he may actually be a cap casualty.
I think he probably will, actually.
Which is interesting because I don't know how Shanahan runs his offense without a fullback. That would be a dramatic change for him in what he likes to do. And I know you start to glaze over when I talk about personnel groups, but they do run a lot of 21 with two running backs, and Juszczyk is the one who is part of the two in the 21. So if you don't have a fullback, then you're going to have to change a lot of what you do offensively.
I am of the opinion that those coaches change what they do offensively a lot more than we think they do. Kyle Shanahan did not start coaching and running an offense when he came to the Niners. He has not had some superstar fullback everywhere he's ever been. He's been to multiple teams, Cleveland, Houston, Atlanta. We could go through the whole league where he's run offenses. Then that's not always been the case. So, again, I think they look at each player this offseason. They're like, dude, is this worth it? And Juice has probably arrived at a point where he's not, unfortunately.
But,
Love the guy. Love all the outfits that his wife is producing.
Wonderful.
Yep. But how many times did he make a big catch this year?
They're not using him as much. For him, it's about blocking.
I know, but
how many times did you get in the red zone, in the deep red zone?
There you go.
And you couldn't run the ball.
There you go.
And, his job is inherently to block and get the short yardage play. And, in the red zone, in the lower red zone, they couldn't get yards.
Real quick, Telmo in the city. Hi, Telmo. What's up?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
So a real quick thought on Juszczyk, and we love him, but I think there could be a cap casualty with McCaffrey on the field. I think there'd be a potential for something that a lot of Niners fans want to see, and that's more Jordan Mason in kind of a hybrid running back fullback role. But specifically about Joey Bosa, he's only played in about 55% of the games in the last 3 years. As they were just, somebody was just talking about how they work out together and they're buddy buddies and they're not stepbrothers, but actual brothers, and who gets the top bump. I don't want them on the same team, because if somebody gets disgruntled, if one of them's not happy, how's that going to affect the other one? If Nick gets disgruntled or he's not performing and the team gets on him, or vice versa, I don't need two brothers being upset and having that much money invested into them. First of all, me personally, I'm ready to move off of Nick Bosa. If the Niners could trade him for Myles Garrett straight up, that's a win-win for both of them. He's given the Niners like 19 or 19 and a half sacks over the last two seasons, being the third highest non-quarterback paid player in the NFL at like $35 million. He's just not giving the Niners their money's worth.
Yeah, Telmo, I get it. We'll respond to that coming up next. We got to run, or else we would have heard more from you. I'm of the opinion, I made the comparison earlier of Nick Bosa and Steph Curry first half of this season. I think Nick's fine. I really do. I know y'all want sacks, but I think that Nick it will put up the numbers that 49er fans want if the concoction of the defensive line were a little bit different. They're bad defense last year.
Right. He had no help.
Fred Warner's words. They were bad defense last year.